or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
The suspect in the El Paso Walmart shooting is now facing federal hate crime charges. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
The 21-year-old man accused of killing 22 people in a shooting at an El Paso, Texas Walmart was charged with federal hate crimes on Thursday. The grand jury indictment charges Patrick Cruces with 90 federal charges. It says he bought a semi-automatic rifle and 1,000 rounds of hollow point ammunition online in June of 2019. It also says he wrote a document ahead of the shooting that states the attack was, quote, a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas. The charges carry a sentence of the death penalty or life in prison. In September, a grand jury in El Paso indicted him on charges of capital murder.
The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are expected to head to the White House next week. More details to be released on Monday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Heavy rain is bringing relief to eastern Australia, causing flooding in Sydney and bringing relief to firefighters still dealing with dozens of brush fires in parts of New South Wales. The fire commissioner in New South Wales is optimistic the rain will help extinguish some of the blazes over the coming days. Eldon Alexander is from the United States, and he was part of the contingent of firefighters who went over to Australia to fight fires, and he says it's unfortunate that three Americans died while helping fight the fires.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the conditions over there have been so extreme. They've had so much fire on the ground for over 155 days of significant fire activity. We did lose three American firefighters over there working for Colson Aviation. Retardant plane crash, a very sad situation. You know, it's just everything we can do to help them out.
It's likely Democrats will not have a clear front runner after the first three contests in our country. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky explains.
After the debacle in Iowa, Democrats now moving on to the New Hampshire primary Tuesday, and then it's off to South Carolina. We could see three different winners in three different states. As it stands, Mayor Pete winning Iowa by a razor-thin margin. In fact, the head of the party there actually calling for a recount. Bernie Sanders expected to win New Hampshire, and in South Carolina, former Vice President Joe Biden expected to clean up and be the winner. Biden not campaigning at all Thursday in New Hampshire, no events on his schedule.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908 908- 782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, we're back. I'm just going to tell you about the weather, and then we're going to talk about sports. And this is Pat Smith and John Manfreda. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, guess Pat.
Guess this...
this nasty weather, is it going to continue?
Well, actually, tomorrow... looks like it's going to be very sunny, bright, 40 degrees.
Nice.
And then today, of course, it must have been really windy when you started out here. Because
it's very chilly, damp. It goes right through. The wind is cutting right through you.
Yep. And, in fact, there's some warnings out there that we may have problems with electricity.
Yep. There have been some power outages here in central New Jersey, yes.
And could be more with the wind. But tomorrow is supposed to be very nice then into Saturday night. Cloudy, slight chance of snow showers. Actually, today at my office and house up in around Valley Reservoir, we had snow showers.
Yes, there's been snow showers, light snow showers off and on today.
So the rest of the weekend, Sunday, does not look good. Slight chance of rain, snow, then again a slight chance of showers. Mostly cloudy into Sunday night, 40% chance of rain. Possibly a 60% chance of rain on Monday night.
Well, Pat, it is February.
It is.
We're in the middle of the winter. We've only had one snowstorm. Folks, I think we're ahead of the game here.
I do, too. But we're at the end of football.
We are, Pat. And, you know, it ended with a thud and a wonderful game that is just, you know, going to be talked about for a long time. And we are the sports guys, and we are here to talk about it live from the studios of the Flemington, New Jersey, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and broadcast live over the Internet. It's the sports guys with Pat Schmitz, Bill Wolfson, and I'm John Manfreda. And, Pat, I think it was an entertaining Super Bowl. As you know, I didn't see that much of it because I was playing in a tennis tournament where we had the game on the big screen, but I played four sets of tennis Sunday night. So I only saw some key points, but I happened to come in during some scoring plays. Overall, it seemed to me that Patrick Mahomes owned this game, that Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's got tools. Nobody's going to say he's not a good quarterback, but Mahomes has become an elite quarterback.
Well, he has, and of course, we all predicted Kansas City, which we were right. You guys,
and the three of us all predicted the Chiefs.
I thought it would be.
I think I won. I win because I had the closest score.
Yep, I thought it would be higher, but it's too bad you didn't see the from a football standpoint. I still can't believe he played tennis during a football game. But in any event,
my arm was twisted. What can I say? I had to play in that event.
But what?
And I played well, Pat. So.
Well, we watched it with our, you know, everybody, you know, Packer fans, Cowboy fans,
everybody who was just sitting like, there, very very solemn, grinning Barrett. Got to watch the Super Bowl without my team, right?
Actually, we all had some connection with Andy Reid.
That's true.
You know, Andy was a coach at Green Bay. Assistant coach and
head coach in Philly
and head coach in Philadelphia, and just I think a pretty likable guy. I mean, he's, when you look at his statistics over the years, pretty remarkable. And I think a lot of people thought that Kansas City might be the underdog, but even if they weren't, wanted Andy to get a ring.
Well, I think, Pat, you know, everything is relative, as we say in the law and in sports and everyday life. If you think about it, San Francisco pummeled their way through the NFC playoffs. They pummeled Minnesota. They got way out in front of Green Bay. They didn't pummel the Packers, but they got so far in front that their front seven could impose their will on Aaron Rodgers. Had the Packers not fallen so far behind, who knows what would have happened in that game? My point being that they looked better than they were against, I don't want to say inferior NFC talent, because I think the NFC has more talent overall than the AFC. But the difference is the Chiefs got behind in the games they played, came roaring back from huge deficits, brandishing that offense, explosive points on demand. And I think that people looked at that and said, well, this suffocating San Francisco defense is not going to let the Chiefs get untracked. And they did a good job of that for a good part of the game. But Mahomes is one of those guys with so much talent. And when you look at those receivers, you can't hold them back forever.
Well, but if you had been watching the game as we were from the first play on, you really questioned whether or not Kansas City would be able to overcome that deficit, whether or not Mahomes could do his magic.
But the thing is, they only fell behind 3-0, and they actually went up 10-3.
No. But later on, if you were looking at the third quarter, I mean, San Francisco was playing a very good game. And, you know, you wondered, especially me, after the Packers. The Packers couldn't overcome it, even though the Packers, when they played San Francisco, did much better in the second half. They just couldn't overcome that deficit. So the fact is, Mahomes is, he is a superb quarterback.
Well, Pat, to your point here about overcoming deficits, I know that we discussed this last week, and I think the point was made that while Kansas City has explosiveness and the ability to overcome a deficit, we were concerned about the ability of San Francisco to do that because of their quarterback situation, the fact that they rely so much on the running game.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. The Chiefs put up 30 points in a couple of possessions. You can't do that if you're basically running the football.
You're right.
And that was the big thing. Once the Chiefs took the lead late in the game, you knew, unless they could run the ball down the Chiefs' throat, that it was going to be hard. And it was hard for San Francisco because then the Chiefs could pack the box and stop the run. And Garoppolo doesn't have the escapability or the arm of Mahomes to do that kind of damage. The problem that you have facing Mahomes is he's a threat to run. He's a threat to roll out. He can throw deep. He's got those kinds of weapons.
And the accuracy.
His accuracy, you know, with tremendous receivers.
You're right.
I mean, and San Francisco didn't have that.
His receivers were catching things that he just didn't think
they were all pro-level receivers. You know, Andy Reid went out and the Chiefs got Mahomes the weapons he needed to exploit his own skill set.
And that's what the Packers have not done.
Exactly. If the Packers had those receivers in the game, they would have beaten San Francisco because it would have been a different game because San Francisco would have been trying to catch up.
But the other thing that would have happened, and the other thing that did happen in the Packer-San Francisco game, is the Packers were too conservative the first half. If you take a look,
yes, that was your takeaway.
And the second half, they did not take.
They almost played not to lose.
Yeah,
in the first half,
but they didn't take any chances, and I understand it because they had some receivers that they didn't think they could really count on.
Right.
I mean, you
can't
even count on Graham. I mean, he makes a few plays.
I think the receivers are average at best.
Yeah, well, other than Adams, I think you're right.
Now, in terms of taking chances, how many fourth down plays did Andy Reid go for?
Oh, well, that was a thing.
He's got Patrick Mahomes there.
But he did it right from the beginning. When most coaches would have said, all right, I'll settle for 3 points.
Right.
Especially, was that the first play? I can't remember if it was the first time that they were facing.
I believe it was.
I think it might have been that first time that they were right down.
Whereas
absolutely would have had 3 points, and he said, nope, I'm going to try. Yeah.
Whereas Shanahan tried it, and they didn't make
it.
They had 3 points just sitting there, and they tried for it and didn't make
it.
And that, arguably, was the difference in the game.
But I can tell you, Packers, I can't believe that they would have gone on fourth down. I mean, sometimes
against that defense, the way it was playing, probably not.
Sometimes, but that, in my mind, that play alone showed me that that Kansas City was just going to do what they needed to do, and they frankly, if they wouldn't have made it, they would have tried it the next.
Well, I think also, Pat, the theory or the thinking of Andy Reid was, you know, if we don't make this, you know, we still have. Exactly. Patrick Mahomes and all these weapons will come back again and again and again and again. And I think if you are the kind of offensive juggernaut that the Chiefs are, multifaceted, tremendous weapons, you can more easily take those chances because if you fail, you know you have the ability to come back.
But you also know, you're right, you also know what a boost it will be if you make it. You know,
exactly.
Say you're down
exactly.
There. If you make that, you know, one of the things
you
is
really get a huge jump
huge,
in momentum.
Huge. I mean, one of the things when I, you know, when I'll see the Packers when they first start off and they're 3-and-out, and you're kind of going, oh shoot. And even though you know it may be the first play of the game or second or third play of the game, but it's still like, oh. So it's always if you can make something like that a good play in. Early in the game, it just gives the fans, I mean, the fans get really into the game, and I think that makes a big difference.
It makes a big, big difference, and if you think back, the Patriots during their run here, 17-year run, kind of did the same thing. They went for fourth down plays all the time. You had a playmaker like Brady, and a lot of those fourth down plays, because of his size, he was able to take the snap and just jump over his center,
exactly.
And they got a lot of fourth down plays that way. And now a couple times it didn't work. In fact, for all you Jet fans out there, the playoff game that the Jets won at Foxborough, that was with Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Back in 2012, I think, when they went to the AFC Championship, I think it was the first time they went to back-to-back AFC championships, and they beat the Patriots in Foxborough, and Belichick went on a fourth down and didn't make it and wound up losing the game. And he went for it inside his own 40-yard line, and he took tremendous criticism. And I think his thinking was, look, the chances are much more likely than not we're going to make this.
Right.
And he didn't on that. So it's a huge risk.
Well, it is. But
that was late in the game. That was in the second half. Here, Andy Reid went for it right in the beginning.
Right in the beginning. And
if you got to me, if you're going to go for it in fourth, I agree with you. If it's third and very short, rather than kicking the ball, unless you're on your own 20, or if you're on your own side of the 50, why not go for it? Because if you get it, you've got a huge momentum jump.
Right. And especially, you know, think of it, Super Bowl, nobody really has home field advantage. You have a lot of people who are there, just they don't really care who wins.
That's right. It's not a game really for football fans. It's mostly corporate, tourists. It's a party.
Right. Party I wish I would have been able to go to and watch the Packers play.
Yeah, yeah.
But we
would have been there, Pat. Had the Packers upset the 49ers, we were going to get on a plane and get down and find some scalper somewhere. And we would have found them because every Super Bowl has people walking around at the end of the first quarter looking to sell the tickets for face value.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, some of the interesting things, and you probably didn't see it, is – you know, they would compare what the first, second, or third Super Bowl, the cost.
Yes.
Cost of a ticket now and how much the commercials cost.
Yeah.
How much a commercial.
It's an amazing statement of American society.
And, well, let me ask you one thing. As a red-blooded American male.
Yes.
Did you watch the halftime show?
I actually did see a portion of that. I was between sets, and I did see a portion of it, and it was some extraordinary talent. I normally don't like shows like that, but it was just extremely well done.
Oh, listen, I know a lot of people that they watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
are people, some guys, who turn it on for the halftime show. And
well, she's an extraordinary talent and puts on a great show, and I think they did a good one. They've had some bad bad halftime shows. We know a few we won't even mention where it's exposure they didn't deserve.
I think one of the things I heard is there were a lot of guys out there hoping there'd be a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, you mean a Janet Jackson moment?
A wardrobe malfunction is the way they...
I see. And I believe that was the way they characterized it.
Yes,
they had a battery of lawyers that came up with a very, very good spin on that when Janet Jackson was in the Super Bowl doing a halftime show. But anyway, Pat, I thought it was a very good game.
It was
close enough where, you know, one or two plays here and there could have changed it, and that makes it very exciting for the fans.
Yeah, no, we had a great time, watching the game, and problem is we couldn't sit and chit-chat. Sometimes the games are so boring that you sit and you're glad you're watching.
Speaking of boring, we have Bill Wolfson, who has entered the room and will enter the chat and give his take on the Super Bowl as he... seats himself behind the microphone, and we won't even... I emailed him about the 5-0 Devils whitewash of the Flyers last night, and I didn't get a response, and we'll get to that. But now, Bill, we're going to put you on the spot to give us your take on the big game.
Wait, and before we do, what is this hat? Not even an Eagles...
Somebody in New Jersey might—it's got a deer on the head. Somebody in New Jersey may just shoot you.
I thought it was a John Deere hat, but it's not even a John.
It's a real deer, folks, like an 8-point deer buck, and somebody might just take a shot at you.
Well, first of all, when you get to boring, you must remember that as a lawyer, I'm very proud to say that I work in boring like Michelangelo worked in marble.
Well, there you go, Bill.
Okay. Secondly. You know, there's a saying, every dog has his day. And the New Jersey Devils had theirs last night, a 5-0 blanking of the Philadelphia Flyers. And, you know, Voracek hit the post 4 times. This was just one of those bad games.
You know, folks, you can always be certain when the Flyers lose that a Flyer fan somewhere will wail about the posts that were hit. But go ahead, Bill. We digress.
Moving right along, we did have a good Super Bowl. Andy Reid.
What was your favorite aspect of the Super Bowl? We've been talking about how it was close and Mahomes, with his extraordinary skill, brought them back and so forth. But what was your overall take on the game, Bill?
I loved how Kansas City shut down the San Francisco running game.
I agree with that.
I am working hard at not using the F word, Frisco. I'm saying San Francisco.
There you go.
We cured that problem
in 1 week.
Yeah. And this hat, yes, it has a deer on it. Deer Valley, a wonderful place to go skiing in Utah.
Oh.
If you are a skier and... you want to get as close to heaven as you can. In my humble opinion, Deer Valley is the place to go. It's just outside of Park City.
Wait, why would a ski mountain be called Deer Valley? I mean, it sort of has
because,
the opposite.
Because the mountains...
The two mountains make a big valley, huh?
A big valley, and there are all the deer that don't want to commit suicide in New Jersey... have gone to Utah.
They go to vacation in Utah. Well, you know what? I'll be willing to pay for some of the deer to go to Utah, and Pat will probably join in the fund.
I have my own herd.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I have my own herd, and, you know, you start to recognize it.
Well, folks, just in case you don't know, I hit a deer on Route 31 in almost the exact same spot that Pat's husband Dave hit a deer a year or so ago. So that section of 31 is...
The deer hit Dave and probably hit you. The one that hit Dave came from 31 across the southbound lane, jumped the median, all the way over to the left where my poor husband was, or the right lane, I should say, where my poor husband was traveling under the speed limit.
Of course.
Well, remember something. The deer here in Hunterdon County have a unique aspect. And for those of us who do municipal court work or who used to do municipal court work, the deer always lurk outside of many famous Hunterdon County watering holes. And when someone has had a great deal to drink, the deer know that. And when that individual gets behind the wheel, the deer decide which of them is depressed and is not going to have a good life and needs to commit suicide. And they'll jump in front of the cars. But they only do that if they can't find trees or road abutments or bridges that don't want to commit suicide. It is an absolutely fascinating thing. But I digress. We're
Let's
talking
go
about
back
sports.
To football.
Football, always a good topic. Everybody is going to worry and begin what I call football withdrawals now that the Super Bowl is over. I love that Andy Reid won a Lombardi Trophy.
Do.
I predicted, and you wrote it down, Pat, I predicted 31-27 Kansas City, and it turned out to be 31-20 Kansas City. I thought, and I was very surprised, I thought the first half would be a much more high-scoring game. I was very surprised at how well Kansas City contained the San Francisco 49ers running game, which until that game, I thought was unstoppable.
Well, to your point, Bill, I think that the over-under in this game was 54, and the nation was shocked. I think that Vegas cleaned up on the over-under. But I mean, I was right there. I said, I'll take the over. 54 points? The Chiefs alone might score 54 points. I was totally shocked.
And it was 51. Well,
what was the halftime score, 10-7 or 10-10?
And it was San Francisco leading.
I thought, you know, I predicted Kansas City would be 42. I mean, I went way up.
I really thought they would score 40 points, even against that San Francisco defense. But that made it an exciting game. You know, most people believe that high octane offenses are the entertainment. But great defense in a big game like that is just as entertaining.
I agree. But I think you have to know a little football to believe that.
Well, it's like watching a pitching duel. You know, when the game is 2-1, your fair weather fans or non baseball fans, they walk out of the ballpark grumbling. I paid $100 for these tickets and I saw four hits. You know, whereas knowledgeable fans will walk out and they'll be talking about how the breaking balls that they saw were falling off the table and incredible defensive plays and that sort of thing. So I think you're right.
Even hockey. You know, the non-hockey, real hockey fan goes, and they want to see a lot of goals.
Exactly.
Some of the best play is when, you know, the score might be 1-0, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's very interesting is this. You're going to see those low-scoring hockey games when teams play left-wing locks or neutral zone traps and things like that, but you're also going to see them when both goalies are red hot,
right?
And they're both making acrobatic saves, and the defensemen are forcing the shots to be perimeter shots, or they're diving to block shots, which I find very exciting. But getting back to the Super Bowl, which is where I want to drag everybody back to,
absolutely, Barry. Game people will be talking about a long time. Go ahead.
Exactly. I thought the line play between these two teams was spectacular.
I agree. Anybody in particular stand out for you on? Give me one guy on San Francisco, one guy on KC. What do you think?
I thought the pass rushing was excellent.
Chiefs had a much better pass rush than was anticipated.
I think Andy and his
defensive coordinators came up with a great scheme, because Garoppolo, when he did throw, especially in the second half and in the fourth quarter in particular, when he had to throw, they were in his face, hands were – how many balls did they bat down?
Did you see
– I thought he was always – a little cautious. I think he almost seemed like he was afraid that they were going to get to him.
Garoppolo.
That they were going to get to him, and he felt rushed.
He's not your best quarterback under pressure, whereas Mahomes is.
Yeah.
I thought
Mahomes
it was
can get You know, Mahomes is quick. He can get
His escapability. He, in fact, people have compared him to a young Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Very similar. And that escapability, I mean, even Brady never had that.
Oh, Brady
certainly
never
Eli
had.
Never had that. And these are great quarterbacks with 8 Super Bowls between them.
Brady stood in the pocket.
Yeah, but they built a fortress around him.
And if he had not had that fortress,
never would have had that career.
I don't think he would have been a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But
he would have been
remember,
good, but he
wouldn't have been great.
Yeah. Remember also that there were, on the part of Kansas City, no fewer than 6 batted balls.
By the defensive line.
By the defensive line or the linebackers. Additionally, remember that San Francisco, during the regular season, won a game where Garoppolo only threw 8 passes.
Wasn't that the playoff game? One of the playoff games.
That was a playoff game.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
He doesn't throw that many. I mean, even in this –
They rely on their running game.
With that triple-threat running game and a big, you know, offensive line, yeah, they just basically moved everybody out of the way.
In the first
– You know, and to that point, Pat – You know, how many games did Bart Starr throw 30 passes? You know, he would be 12 for 17 for $1.78 because the Packer offensive line, the power sweep, they came at you. They virtually came out of the huddle and say, we're going to run Jim Taylor to the right. Stop us if you can. We're going to run Horning outside. Stop us if you can.
But back then, remember, back even when I was a kid, it wasn't a passing game.
No, that's right.
You know, it really wasn't. I remember my husband Dave could throw a ball. I mean, he was unbelievable. But he said that in high school and college,
they ran the ball.
He played defense because he was a big
with his
guy.
Even though he had that ability,
he
would be on the offense today.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. When I say he could throw a ball, one of the things, and I always have to say this, when we were in Guatemala, the guys would play football out in the park, and he would throw a ball, you wouldn't believe it, and the Guatemalans would be looking and
watching a rainbow, huh?
Following it with their hand. Just, they couldn't believe that anybody, now, of course, soccer was a different thing. He couldn't play that at all. But back then,
well, some of the best of us, even tennis players can't play soccer, Pat. And we've got footwork.
You know, but all of those guys, if you looked at those guys back then, it was pretty much a running game. And, you know, that has changed. I love the passing game, frankly. But
well, we're going to take a couple of spots here, folks. We'll be back to talk some hockey and hot stove baseball and maybe a few additional comments on the Super Bowl.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical. And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression. Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
We're back, and we've solved the world problems.
Absolutely, we
now
did.
Now we can talk about more about sports. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl because there was something very interesting that in the way that Kansas City's defense changed between the first half and the second half.
They made great halftime adjustments,
exactly.
You're right, on the defensive line especially.
Yeah, and the backs. I noticed that in the first half, the defensive backfield for the Chiefs was giving 5 yards away that they wouldn't even bump and run to throw some of the San Francisco wide receivers off. Once we got into the second half, they kind of tightened that up. The coverages were better. Additionally, what I thought was very interesting is in the fourth quarter, Mahomes threw a pass, and I forget the name of the receiver, right in the corner of the field, and he swiped the ball sort of into the end zone over the pylon before he went out. Brilliant attention by the receiver. Great catch. He was almost tackled, but he had the presence of mind and the concentration to make sure the ball broke the plane of the end zone, even though his body and his feet did not. But he had control of the ball at that point because he had caught it and had to run 5 yards to get to the end zone. The other thing I thought was tremendously impressive is when Mahomes started to go downfield deep, which he did not do, because I noticed that San Francisco's defensive backs and the safeties was playing tighter and tighter and tighter all the time. And then there was that terrible pass interference call that gave Kansas City the ball first and goal at the one. I was astonished that the defensive back for San Francisco played the guy not just that tight, but he wrapped his arms around him so he couldn't catch the ball. And 100 million people saw that and said, oh, my God, pass interference. How foolish to have made that move. Whereas the ball was underthrown. The ball was underthrown. It hit the defensive player in the back. This is after he's hugging the receiver. And I could not believe that the guy had lost so much focus. The defensive player for San Francisco had lost so much focus that he could actually commit a foul like that in that kind of an important game.
Well, you know, defensive play is difficult. You're backing up and somebody's running full speed at you. So advantage offensive player. I think it's extremely difficult to make that call. The ball is in flight. Part of the job of the defensive back, the corner usually, is to make precisely that evaluation, Bill. Is that a catchable ball? if so, am I going to get there in time to deflect it, or am I going to get beat? If I'm going to get beat, and especially if it's going to be a big play and maybe a score, then I got to take out the receiver and hope they don't throw a flag. And I think in that case, it was a combination of – it was a close play, and the defensive back misread that ball. You're probably right.
I know I'm right.
Well, Bill, but again, it was – I don't think – you started out saying it was a horrible pass interference call. I think what you mean it was a horrible defensive play that induced the pass interference. Okay.
It was the most obvious example of pass interference I can imagine.
Yeah, but it was a horrible display of defensive talent in that play. And also your point about the adjustments and so forth – on the Chiefs, I think that you're right. They definitely came up, and they weren't playing bump and run because nobody really plays that anymore. They definitely gave less ground in the second half when I think they gained the confidence that they could stay with the receivers.
Exactly.
You know, if you're given 12-yard cushions, it's because you're afraid you're going to get beat on a stop and go.
And remember, when you get that 12-yard cushion, you still have to turn around because no matter how hard you try, you can't run as fast backward as a wide receiver can run forward, facing forward. The human body's just not built that way.
Any other final comments on the Super Bowl, Pat?
Well, I was just kind of looking back at some the old statistics and what was the only Super Bowl ever to feature a special teams player as the game's MVP?
Desmond Howard.
And what Super Bowl was that?
Well, that would be the Patriots losing to the Packers in 1997, which probably would be about Super Bowl 30.
31.
Well, I was one off,
that,
folks. Come on. Yeah, give me a – that's a win. That's a win. Come on. I got within one. There's been 54 Super Bowls, and I got within one.
Well, why did you think that I'd ask a question?
Well, I knew the Packers had to be involved with that, of course.
And, of course,
that's a famous Super Bowl.
I was at that game.
And you were at the game. So, that's right. And so wasn't my buddy Rick from Brantford, Connecticut. He was at that game, too, and died 1,000 deaths. Because that was a game when the Patriots took the lead.
I know.
And those special teams touchdowns grabbed the lead away.
I know another one that you'll get, which was the first AFC win in a Super Bowl after 13 straight wins by the NFC.
The first win by an AFC team, I think, would have been New England beating the Rams.
No, unfortunately, it was another Packer game.
Uh-huh.
The Denver Broncos.
Oh, when the Broncos beat them.
I didn't even
that's
have to look
right,
up that
right,
answer.
Right,
I knew that
right,
one,
right, right, right.
So,
yeah, there was a long run of NFC dominance.
Yes.
And you know, speaking of that, and we're ending off here on the Super Bowl, but you know, you have to look at this Chiefs team. They have a lot of young talent. Those receivers are not old. Obviously, Mahomes is 23, 24.
Right.
They could be around for a long time. But then again, we said the same thing. In fact, somebody posed this question on one of the network shows. You know, is Patrick Mahomes going to wind up like Aaron Rodgers, wins a Super Bowl early in his career and never gets back there?
But it depends on, and I have to tell you, you know I don't like McCarthy, but you have to, I think Andy Reid knows what he has to do to have a team, because with somebody like Aaron Rodgers, somebody like Brady, somebody like Patrick Mahomes, you have to have some really good receivers out there.
And an offensive line.
And absolutely an offensive line. And so,
which the Packers had for a lot of years. very good offensive line. Their problem was that they lost games in a lot of strange ways. To the Giants and to San Francisco. And the Packers have been, I'll bet when you look at win losses, they're in the top five of the 32 teams in the last 20 years. The Packers, but won Super Bowl. So I mean, it's. But getting back to Mahomes and the Chiefs, Bill, they could be around for a long time.
I think so. And you know, the interesting thing is, I think the Chiefs dethrone the Pates for a long time. I think the Chiefs could easily be another dynasty, as you correctly point out, given the ages of the guys who just won a Super Bowl for them. I would like to see the Chiefs beef up a little bit more defensively. As good as they are, I think their cornerbacks and their safeties could still.
You know, it's funny you say that, Bill. I agree, and I was thinking one of my observations, and again, I didn't see the whole game because I was on the court, but I think the Chiefs defensively played the best possible game they could have played.
Yeah.
Somehow they all had a great game,
and the
whole playoff run, they were giving up a lot of points. It was the offense that bailed them out. But in this game, I think they just came up with a gem.
And
I think
could be better?
Spectacularly defensive. To keep an explosive team like San Francisco to 20 points when they've been blowing other teams out. You know, and it's interesting. You were talking about the Packers before, and
I always talk about the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. Right, deja vu all over again, folks. This year, even though the Packers did not have the kind of season everybody would have liked to have seen them have,
well, they had a pretty good season, quite frankly, Bill.
But they were lucky too.
They were lucky.
Yep.
Remember the year before and a couple years before when they would lose, they would never get blown out.
But that was always McCarthy. But I have to say, guys, as much as I don't like McCarthy, I think he's going to a team with a lot of good players. I think both the
Dallas has a lot of talent. The question is going to be, are they going to need a year to transition, you know, to a new regime? You don't have a big window there in Dallas because that offensive line's been around a while.
Right.
So they're kind of a win-now team. They rebuilt that defense. And let's face it, you know, I think Dak Prescott is just coming into his prime. He's going to be his fourth or fifth year. Elliott, you know, he kind of looked a little bit less dominant this year. But they're there now. I think the Cowboys are built to win now.
And I think that they could take almost any coach. And if they can get these guys following the coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like McCarthy, but I think there could be a big change this
year. When you think of how the last couple of years the Cowboys, with all that talent, were basically a 500 team, I think it is a bit on Jason Garrett. And a lot of people think it was unfair. And I got to tell you, I think Jerry Jones showed the patience of Job. Could have fired him 3-4 years ago.
He stayed with
Jason Garrett.
But that's
stayed with him way too long.
No,
probably too long.
Eagle fan, I'm delighted.
But Jerry wants to be the coach.
That's right.
You know
that's
what?
True.
I mean, come on. Let's face it.
Well, when Jimmy Johnson was winning down there, basically, didn't he say, and one of the reasons that contributed to Johnson's leaving was he basically showed up after, they won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, and he, in the post-game conference, he said, well, I was the one that got all the players. I could have coached this team. I could have won these championships myself.
Right.
And Jimmy Johnson was ready to strangle him.
Right.
Yeah, well, let's move on from the personality. We've got pitchers and catchers next week. And what about those Red Sox? And
well,
the
Bill, real quick, switching. Well, the deal is done from what I understand. I think long term it isn't a bad deal. Look, whenever you trade one of the top 5 or even 10 players in the game, you're never going to get full value back. You can't, because that's why they're one of the top 10 players in the game. In Betts' case, he might even be one of the top 3 players in the game. But bottom line is that getting back a very good outfielder from the Dodgers with some upside, with some power, great arm who can play right field. So you certainly are getting back a decent player. They're also picking up a 23-year-old left-handed pitcher who throws 100 miles an hour. So from the Red Sox, he has some health issues.
He had Tommy John surgery last year. They're waiting for the physical
from what I heard this afternoon. Look, if it breaks the right way, it's actually a pretty good deal for the Red Sox. They're saving hundreds of millions of dollars, getting young players who are controllable, and if they're healthy, could really play well. So is all that likely to happen? No, but they at least made a decent deal. They didn't give him away, and they got back an opportunity to perhaps play bigger than the resume shows. So I think Bloom did a decent job. It could all blow up, but the main thing, and I didn't realize this, by coming in under the cap, which they've managed to do now, it actually frees them up the next couple of years to go over the cap without a penalty. I didn't know that. There's so many, you know, nuances to this cap strategy. But as I understand, if you're under the cap, you have the ability to go over the cap for a while without paying the penalty because they sort of average it out. It's kind of like the old income averaging.
Oh.
And so there's a little bigger benefit to staying under the cap. So by giving away, because Betts is going to cost you $400 million. Remember, the Dodgers only getting him for 1 year at $27 million. They got to re-sign him. So the Dodgers gave up a player who could be a top player for 10 years to get Betts for 1 year. Now, I realize of all the teams in baseball, you could say the Yankees as well are built for this, but the Dodgers are built to win now. They got Cody Bellinger, who was the NL MVP, and you got Betts, and you got
Price
to go with that, with already a very good pitching staff. Frankly, if the Dodgers don't get back to the World Series again, it will be a horrible travesty. With the Yankees, you know, everybody's penciling them in. You still have to play the games. Injuries play a big role. All the Red Sox want to do, be able to answer your question, once they hire a manager, is to get a wild card. They would like nothing better than win about 90 games, be 20 games behind the Yankees, and beat them in the ALCS again. So you never know. That can all happen. One other comment. Dave Dombrowski, the architect of the 2018 World Championship team, leaves in August of 2019. So 4 months into the season following the championship season, the GM leaves. I believe, at the time, nobody knew why, and the Red Sox didn't say anything. I believe what happened was he got wind of the cheating scandal, and he wanted to fire Cora, and the ownership didn't want to, and he left because he said, I'm not going to run a team with a manager who we know cheated in the, 2 years ago. Now, the interesting thing is there's been no evidence that there was any cheating on the 2018 Red Sox. We know there was in the 2017 Astros because players came out and admitted it. Nobody on the 2018 Red Sox has said so. Nobody. Nothing. It's the presence of Cora that's given rise to the specter of cheating. But there's been no allegation, and I think it's going to be... But I think Dombrowski's point was, get this guy out of here before the scandal breaks so that we don't have egg on our face, when in fact, I think by it happening after the season was over, all the egg was on the collective faces of the Astros. But I believe that's why Dombrowski left.
That wouldn't surprise me, but I have another theory. I think the Red Sox, realizing how expensive it was going to be to sign Betts, keep Price, keep some of their other people, looking at this cap hit, said, wait a minute.
Now's the time to make the move. There's no question about it.
Number one. Number two, even though it's going to upset their fan base, particularly all those 9-year-old kids that love to follow the game and have a favorite player.
Yeah. Price and Betts were two of the fan favorites. Right. Although everybody was exasperated.
You finish, but then I want to say
going into
something.
The Tampa Bay Ray model.
Correct. Right. It's
Tampa
written
Bay
all
Ray
over. Yeah.
Has
yep.
Sot Ray's GM has decided. We don't need to spend all this money.
Yeah, Tampa,
these good players.
Dollar for dollar has been perhaps the most successful team in baseball because they've been very competitive, winning 90 games plus with payrolls under $50 million. But go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead,
Pat. My point on the 9-year-olds is that that's been a problem for both football and baseball.
No doubt.
When I grew up, the team was a team, and they all stayed together, both
right.
football and so you didn't have to be a fan of the team. You could be a fan of one or two players.
Because you knew they were going to be there.
Because they were going to be there. And so with everything with free agency, that's one of the things that changed, along with the fact that some of these guys are paid so much money that you're right, economically, it may make no more sense to pay somebody like Betts what they had to pay him, you know, and it is unfortunate. I think, you know, when I can still recite every one of the Braves that were on the team and probably when I was 10 years old, and they were there all of the time. I think they all came from Boston, and then they all went to Atlanta.
They all went to Atlanta.
And so...
Did Hank Aaron ever play for anybody besides the Braves?
I don't think so.
I think Hank Aaron.
He was one
was
of my
Brave,
favorites.
Boston Brave, then he was a Milwaukee
he
Brave.
He was definitely
then he was
a Milwaukee
Brave.
Brave. And then he went to Atlanta.
And I remember going to the Polo Grounds and seeing Hank Aaron playing right field in the Polo Grounds against the Mets and going 3-for-4 and saying, boy, I wish the Mets would trade for him. A fat chance that was going to happen.
Well,
when I was 9 years old.
I remember seeing, you know, Hank Aaron. I mean, everyone. Lou Schoendigs.
Red Schoendigs.
Red Schoendigs.
Frank Robinson.
No.
Who was in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Adcock. With the Indians.
Great first baseman.
He was a great first baseman. And, of course, everybody...
But your point is all these players were identified with the teams
yes.
that they yeah. came up yeah. with.
Nowadays.
Eddie Matthews. I mean, everybody was in love with... He was single.
Yeah.
So
I didn't great. Know that, Pat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Even at 10, I knew that.
All female fans knew that and said, that's the guy I want.
There you
but
go.
But moving along, you know, right now, we're rooting for the laundry. We're rooting for the team in the uniform, and the players are there for maybe 3, 4, 5 years, and they move on, and fine, they're entitled to make as much as they can. These are uniquely, supremely talented individuals.
The worst part about it, the guy that comes to, one of the guys that comes to mind, is Justin Verlander. Okay, he goes to Houston and wins a world championship. Yeah, how do the people in Detroit feel? You see this with Washington this year. Some of their players came from other cities and so forth. But, you know, such is sports. And
how many 9-year-olds with, you know, those fathead life-size pictures of Mookie Betts who on their bedrooms in Foxborough or in South Boston are going to stomp up to their rooms and very angrily pull that down and tear it up and throw it in the trash.
Yeah, you never know, Bill. Hopefully the players they got to replace them will play well, they'll be competitive. It'll be interesting, and that's one of the things. This is going to be an exciting season for us, the sports guys, to see if the Yankees can play up to their billing. They are loaded on offense and defense. They're healthy. I mean, this is a team, Bill, that could win 115 games.
Well, remember, Didi
even with an idiot managing them.
Didi Gregorius has moved on to Philadelphia. You've got Gleyber Torres, who moves over from second to short. You've got Luke Vogt, who's going to come back from an injury and hopefully have a good season. You have
what about Judge coming back? Hopefully he stays healthy.
Stay healthy. Great arm, great bat. Where I think the Yankees are suspect is their catching. I'm not a Sanchez fan, but, you know, he can certainly
I think
hit.
The guy takes a bad rap. I mean, he's a wonderful hitter, and catcher is such a difficult defensive position, but he's a wonderful hitter.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like Sanchez myself.
Oh, I like watching him hit, but yeah. My heart's in my throat every time.
I mean, here we have Christian Vasquez, who's hitting about 260 and banging about 20 homers, and we think he's great.
Yeah.
Sanchez buries him, but of course, Christian Vasquez is a way better defensive catcher. And
Vasquez
throw out
has
runners.
A much better arm.
Sanchez got way better throwing out runners. He improved quite a bit. But unfortunately, the pass balls killed him.
But his arm speed improved. He got the ball more accurately. But He passes a lot of balls.
Well, folks, that's the end of the show. We will see you next week.
Great.
Bye, guys.
The dog there, just such the nicest dogs you've ever met. You can sit and pet them, talk to them, read to them, talk to their owners. It's just a fun little 45 minutes every Wednesday at the Huntington County Library. It's also done at the North County Branch Library. Go to our webpage, hclibrary.us, to check on the exact times. All things STEAM, Jennifer. These are monthly open maker hours, with Maker's Day coming up. Maybe get into the swing of things. It's the first Tuesday and the...